Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the 6:30 a.m. praise, prayer, and worship service here at Trinity Baptist Church in High Point, North Carolina, USA, for this, the third day of January in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2025, as reckoned by our calendar. I am Pastor Clarence William Page. I thank the Lord for allowing me to be here today, and I thank the Lord that you are with me. I praise the Lord for that. I call your attention to the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament. The reading begins at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 32 in the New Testament of the Holy Bible. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Father and our God in heaven, thank thee. I thank thee for this day. I thank thee for this year. I thank thee for this moment, these very moments. I thank thee for time itself. I bless thy name and praise thy name and shout hallelujah. And Father God, on this day, hear thou my voice. Hear thou my prayers. Be in my preaching, in your word, with your spirit, and use it to your glory, not only right now, but whenever, Father God, it is projected into the ears and hearts and minds and spirits of men and women, boys and girls, wherever they are, to the glory of God. I bless your name. I praise your name, and I shout hallelujah. Give me now the spirit of the word and the word of the spirit. That is your word, your spirit, in Jesus' name. Help me to preach it to your glory. Cause it to redound to the good of men and women, boys and girls, all over the world and wherever man is found. I thank thee for it ahead of time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friends, I would commune with you this early morning from the topic, especially for leaders. Especially for leaders. Perhaps some of you are leaders, and perhaps you've trained in many venues, and you feel that you are a good leader, and I truly hope that you are. I pray that in all of your leadership endeavors, you have led according to the will of God, because I will declare ahead of time that leadership outside of the will of God is faulty leadership. Leadership outside of the will of God is erroneous leadership. Leadership outside of the will of God can be tragic leadership, and not only for the leader, but for the followers. I call your attention to 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, and particularly to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want to read these words in your hearing, particularly for leaders and those of you who aspire to be leaders. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Beginning reading at verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verses 1 through 4. That bears reading again, particularly for leaders. 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning reading at verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, The rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain." 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. If you are a leader, job one is to know God and to obey God. If you are leading in any other way, you are reading erroneously. I know the intellectuals will ask questions such as, "What God? Which God? Is there a God? How do I know that there is a God? Reverend, you must be empirical. Prove to me." Some of you would say that God exists. And some of you have taught in the universities that if it cannot be proved in the laboratory, then you won't accept it. Those of us who are Christians, we live by faith. We operate by faith. We operate on faith. We believe Almighty God. He is our God. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel. He is the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And we believe that beside him, there is no God. And so I call your attention to the very word of God. I call your attention to 2 Samuel chapter 23, and with specificity, verses 1 through 4. If you are not inquiring of God, if you are not praying to God, if you are not seeking to obey God, if you have no fear of God, you are not leading properly. You would perhaps complain and protest, but I ask you, Reverend, what God, which God? Prove to me there is a God. Our acceptance of Almighty God is by faith, my friends. That's the only way we accept God. That's the only way we understand God. I call your attention to the Word of God itself, particularly in the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 11. For many of you would protest saying, "Reverend, I don't understand. Reverend, I can't understand." Well, my friend, you might not understand, but you can understand. You can understand because understanding is through faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, we are told the following. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, your laboratory normally deals with things which do appear. But there is a greater world, a greater existence than things which do appear. For in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, we read, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. You can't bring this into your little academic laboratory, in your science department, in your physics department, in your engineering department, because God is greater than things which do appear. You deal with things which do appear, which may be seen. They may be nanoparticles. They may be forces or whatever. That's what you are dealing with. But through faith, we understand that the worlds, not just this world, the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. If we travel down to verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11, we read the following. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Let me read that for you once again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And so in this message titled, Especially for Leaders, I pray that you would focus in on obedience to God, even as you and I read the last words of David in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. And that passage bears reading once again. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. Beginning reading at verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man that was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verses 1 through 4. Number 1, David says, first of all, that God spoke to him through him. His word was in his tongue. David says he is conveying the word of Almighty God. And he says, God says, he that ruleth over men must be just. You must be just in order to obey God as a ruler. You must be just. Many rulers are not. They're in the business for getting what they want for themselves and care nothing for their people, or very little for their people. That is a shame. It's an abomination, in my opinion. You should take care of your people first. Rulers, leaders in the United States of America have the obligation to take care of Americans first. And if you're not taking care of your own people first, you're not a good ruler. But not only in the United States of America, whatever country you're in, you should be taking care of your people first. God gives you lands. He gives you wooded areas. He gives you, some of you, he gives you great water sources, and he gives you wildlife, and he gives you fish in the sea. You need to pray to God and get your people praying to God. And in some countries, you are so sinful that God is not blessing you. If you are a leader in a country, it is your obligation to go to Almighty God and ask God to show you how to lead and what to do and how to get the resources you need for your people. It's God's world. It's God's country. It's God's land. It's God's sky. It's God's air. It all belongs to God, not to you. And David said, God spoke through him saying, he that ruleth over men must be just. Not only just, but he must rule in the fear of God. Two cardinal requirements. Two absolutely necessary, commanded requirements. Must. You must be just, and you must rule in the fear of God. And if you are missing either of those two, you have a great deficit in your leadership paradigm. Oh, Reverend, you want us to be a theocracy. I want your country to prosper. And I propose and stand for in the will of Almighty God. And by the way, you ask which God? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, who became Israel, the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And some of you are laughing, but that's why we have wars. That's why we have rumors of wars. That's why the peace has been taken, because he's the God of peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And when you deny and cast aside the Prince of Peace, you cast aside peace. And some of you are in positions of leadership and you think you are God. You think you are God. You think you are God. You have military power. You have great military power. You can crush other peoples. And the more you crush people, the more you develop a great appetite for crushing, and you think you are so good. Some of you think that, well, God put me in this position. God can put you in a position, but God can take you out of that position. Some leaders get too big for God. Even when God chooses them, they get too big for God. I call your attention to a leader named Saul. If you would turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Beginning reading at verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses." And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. And then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us." And he said unto him, "Behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go." Then said Saul to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we?" And the servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way." Before a time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, "Come, and let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer." Then said Saul to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went in unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered him and said, "He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. For there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterward they eat that be bidden. Now, therefore, get you up, for about this time ye shall find him." So here we've been introduced to this goodly man, this man that has much favor in his appearance and in who he apparently is. His name is Saul. Without reading more to prolong the time, Saul was made the king. He was made the king, a good man. But Saul got too big for God. Saul stopped obeying the word of God. You can get too big for God, even if you were chosen to work for God. And I would assume that this applies not only to political leaders, but also to preachers and to deacons and trustees and other people who are put in position by God. But to make a long story short, Saul got too big for God, and Saul began doing things that angered God. And I call your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 31, just to see what happened to Saul. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. We met Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 9, but we're going to leave Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21, beginning reading at verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 31, that is, not 21. 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31, to give you a view of what occurred. In the interim, Saul simply became too big for God. Some of you who are in position, you've already become too big for God. In many ways. Here's what happened to Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 31. Keep in mind, Saul was a man that God allowed to be put in leadership. Allowed. Many of you were allowed to be put into leadership. 1 Samuel chapter 31. Now the Philistines, starting reading at verse 1, my friends. 1 Samuel chapter 31, beginning reading at verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines. Let's start this reading once again. 1 Samuel chapter 31, beginning reading at verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through, and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent unto the land of the Philistines round about, to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and came to Jabesh, and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 1 through 13. In other passages, you will find that God slew Saul. God slew Saul, the same man that God put in high position. God slew him because of his disobedience. And so I call upon leaders to know God, to know God, to trust God, to obey God. And I leave you with the words of David, as recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. Let us pray. Our Father, our Father, our Father, and our God in heaven, thank you for your word. Father, we are in the scientific age. We are in the artificial intelligence age. God Almighty, God Almighty, Almighty God, Almighty God, Almighty God, I have preached, I have taught, I have informed, I have brought them to your word, I have educated. And now, Father God, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Friends, if you don't know God as your Savior, Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to accept him. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died for my sins. He died on the cross at Calvary. And by accepting Jesus Christ, you accept the best that Almighty God has. And so as we hear the musical rendition of All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, talk to God and say, oh Lord, save my soul. Say, God of the universe, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Israel, I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he is indeed God himself, the Son, that you are God the Father. He's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Ghost. And I believe in thee, I believe in you, and I accept you, I repent of all my sins. I want to be the kind of ruler who is just, and the kind of ruler who rules in the fear of God. And I need you to help me do that. I cannot do that without you. I want to rule in the fear of God. So my friends, as we listen to All Hail the Power of Jesus' name, pray to God. Just pray to him in your own way. Pray to him in your own way. Pray to him in your own way. He wants to save you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to understand, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11. And remember, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, says Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God. You must have faith. I call you to faith now as we listen to All Hail the Power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. My friends, crown Jesus Christ Lord of all, in your heart, in your life, your mind, your spirit, your soul. Give him your all. Crown him, Lord of all. Once you know that you have been saved, contact a Christian minister and our ministry. Request and receive Christian baptism. Christian baptism is very important. As soon as you know that the Lord has saved you, contact and request and receive Christian baptism. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.